My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. I was potting down the wrong thing. There we go. Now we've got it moving. Thanks, everybody, listening on ESPN 1320 AM. Thanks, everybody, listening on the free Odyssey app. Everybody watching on YouTube and Twitch, thank you so much. Twitch.tv/ESPN1320. YouTube.com/ESPN1320. Salute to the chatty house as well. We're hanging out with you till noon, then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC. Coming up in 11 minutes, Sean Cunningham, Fox 40. We'll talk some Kings with Sean. We talked about this earlier, but just because it came up again in the chatty house, somebody said that they would... where did it go? I need to start starring things. Talking about Nas Little again.
Yeah.
The Kings need to... Do they make a play for him? The Kings have to go get him. He's wing defensive help. If they go and get Nasir Little... I'm not even sure he would be on the team.
Yeah, I mean, he would be in competition for like 11, 12, 13 spot.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I think he'd make the team. They have Boogie Ellis as like the 15th roster spot. They are signing, from what I know, Scalabi's here, but to an Exhibit 10.
Right.
And then chances are they're waiving him, just giving him some guaranteed money. Some bonus money, so when he goes to the G League, he'll stick around.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, like, they do have a roster spot to play with here.
Mm-hmm.
And they also, you know, like, look, like, is Jalen McDaniels a player or not?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we don't really know. He was good 2 years ago, but on a really bad Hornets team. Last year, he didn't hardly play at all.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with Orlando Robinson. You don't really know what you have. So... There might not be a lot of competition for roster spot in training camp.
Yeah.
But I also have a tough time believing that the Kings are going to walk into the season with 15 players. That's not to, you know, disparage Boogie Ellis.
Mm-hmm.
He played really hard in summer league. It's just really hard to make a team and for a team like the Kings to walk into a season knowing that you still have 3 2-way players,
mm-hmm,
that you have up to 50 games a year.
Yeah,
to bounce back and forth, you know, up to the main club. Mm-hmm. So how many minutes is Boogie Ellis actually going to play? I mean, he's also a player that if you were to, if you do waive him, I believe he has to go into the G League draft. So like retaining him is not going to be easy.
Yeah.
But you also, if one of your other 2-way contracts isn't really working out in preseason and like training camp and everything else,
mm-hmm,
you can waive one of those guys and sign Boogie Ellis to a 2-way contract.
Sure.
And that might make more sense. And then leave that last roster spot open. So yeah, the Kings have a roster spot and you never know. Like the reason I bring up Nasir Little, like 24 years old, highly thought of just a couple of years ago and then kind of fallen out of favor. Can he play or not? I don't know.
That's what I wanted to get at.
Yeah.
I'm happy you said that. Because that's what somebody said. I saw something to the effect of they need to go get him. And they don't. It's a good idea. Like, it's a in theory.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, a potential wing. They need some wing depth. He's 6'6". He could play the two or the three. Mm-hmm. I think he's played some four in his career, but you're probably looking at him as a three primarily. But it's not like he's been this awesome player who needs a change of scenery. Like, no, he's just not quite ever been a regular rotation guy or a really productive rotation guy. He may or may not be a quality NBA player.
Yeah, and like to kind of knock people off kilter here, he kind of looks a lot like Moses Moody. Like at this point in their careers, if you look at where he was 3 years into his mm-hmm. career, he averaged 9.8 points for Portland. It looked like he was starting to take off, got a mm-hmm. shoulder injury, really set him back. But same dimension, same mm-hmm. 6'6" dude, same 7'1" wingspan, mm-hmm. 3-point shooter, athlete, you know, all of these things. There's not a lot of difference, like for me, in like looking, comparing these two players.
Yeah.
Moody's 22, he's 24. Like, there's a possibility that he works out and becomes a player, mm-hmm. but you're not just all in on either one of them because yeah. you don't really, they haven't proven they can do something for 82 games and shown yeah. you that they're the next step. But it, for me, it wouldn't hurt to go out and
love
get a guy
idea.
Like this. Yeah,
love the idea. I just, what I want to avoid is, let's say he signs with the Grizzlies. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Just some other team. It's not some travesty. And
oh my gosh, you missed out.
Yes, correct.
You missed out.
Yeah. I love the idea. If it doesn't happen, I don't want to set some bar or some standard that if they don't get Nasir Little, then they're failing as a front office.
No, totally, totally. I would say this, though. The one interesting thing about Nasir Little is that he's getting waived on a 3-year, like almost $22 million deal.
Mm-hmm.
Which means that somebody believed in him enough to give him a second contract at, you know, mm-hmm. 3 years or 4 years, whatever it was, that the contract that he's playing out right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure what that deal was, but
yeah.
it's at least enough where you're like, hey, somebody believed in him enough to give him money.
Yeah. Like, well, he just fits the like modern NBA archetype, right?
Yeah, the wing.
Archetype. Lengthy defender, can shoot a three. And
no,
maybe
he'll
develop with us.
Yeah, exactly. and I just think that last year, whatever happened in Phoenix, I'm not sure. They had a need for that guy, mm-hmm. and he wasn't able to get on the court and stay on the court.
Yeah.
I mean, but again, as a third-year player, as a 21-year-old, he averaged 9.8 points, 5.6 rebounds, which is nice. He averaged 0.9 blocks in 25 and a half minutes, almost 26 minutes. And, mm-hmm. you know, he shot 33% from three, 46% from the field.
Mm-hmm.
He was like a productive player for Portland on a young team that was trying to develop. And then injuries kind of set him back. And maybe he's a player, maybe he's not. I don't know. But like,
but the crux of all this, if you're going to take a flyer on a guy who may or may not be good, you'd rather he be a 6'6 wing than a 6'2 guard.
Exactly.
That's
exactly.
It.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it.
I would totally agree. And he signed a 4-year, $28 million extension,
mm-hmm.
his rookie scale extension. Like someone believed in him enough to give mm-hmm. him mm-hmm. some money.
Yeah.
And I don't know. We'll have to see how it works out.
It's not Nasir Little specifically. It's not like, man, it's just, no, this is a 6'6 wing who may or may not be a good defender, who may or may not be able to knock down a three.
Yeah, and I'm not That's saying under any circumstance should the Kings pick up, like, he's being waived. Just claim him on waivers, which they couldn't do anyways because of their salary cap situation.
Right.
But that's not what I'm saying. Like, yeah. He's a player that you should at least be interested in on a minimum deal, which is, again, a $2.2 million. It'd probably work out for him to be, like, $2.8 million deal, but, like, how much you're paying is 2.2.
Mm-hmm.
So.
We got Sean Cunningham, Fox 40, friend of the show, coming up in about 4 minutes. Let's see. What do we want to do? What do you want to do? Do you want to do the West?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Let's get to the last couple. Yeah.
Okay. The contenders.
I mean, they're listed as contenders, Kyle.
These are the top six teams. If you missed it, 7, New Orleans Pelicans. 8, this is via ESPN's predictions. Their panel of experts. 8, Golden State. 9, Memphis. The Grizzlies. 10, the Houston Rockets. 11 through 15 are the Lakers, Clippers, Spurs, Jazz, and Blazers. So no Kings in the bottom 9. Number one,
mm-hmm.
the Oklahoma City Thunder are picked to win the West at 57-25. I think that's probably the right move.
Yep.
Probably the right call.
I agree.
Number two, the Minnesota Timberwolves at 54-28.
Okay.
I like that. I like that idea.
Win total on that is a little light. Like I could see them 56, 57.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see OKC going 57, 58, 59.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
OKC, there might be a leap for them this year into like a different stratosphere.
Yeah.
That's the, if they're going to take a jump, it's the kind of jump that halfway through the season, we're looking at we're looking around and going, hey, this is probably a Boston OKC finals crash course here.
Yeah.
That's the kind of, and maybe they don't take that leap, but I think if collectively they do, with sixth man of the year, Alex Caruso,
I feel like sixth man of the year, Alex Caruso will lead them.
He provides on defense.
Yeah. The switchability on defense will lead to everything being different. I do feel like that OKC may not be, they may still be a year away from being a true title contender.
Yeah.
Like I think that they can be a great regular season team and a really good playoff team second round.
Mm-hmm.
But you still, and they might even make the Western Conference Finals, but like a true title contender yet?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. We'll have to see.
It feels oddly kind of like the Durant, Westbrook, Harden team that went to the finals,
mm-hmm.
where they were awesome and they deserved to be in those finals. But then you watch in the finals, it's like, oh, they're just not. They are so close, but they're just not. That could be this year's Oklahoma City team.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they're pretty firmly. I feel really good about them as the number one spot in the West. Minnesota, Ramsey put in the chatty house. Minnesota's highly questionable. I kind of tend to agree. I think I would pick them to finish second if I'm doing a ranking right now.
Yeah.
But if you came from the future and said, yeah, they finished fifth in the West, I don't think I'd be super surprised by it.
Yeah, I mean, they were really good last year, though. You got to remember, they hang their hat on the defensive end.
That's true.
And any team that does that
has a
legitimate shot.
Yeah. So Minnesota, number two at 54-28. Number three,
mm-hmm.
the Dallas Mavericks. 52 wins for the Dallas Mavericks, 52-30 to finish third. One game back of the Minnesota Timberwolves. I think that's probably right.
Yeah, I think it's legit.
And if you get the Mavericks going 52-30, that's what we talked about yesterday. That's where Luka's winning an MVP.
Oh, yeah. He's 100%. The MVP. And this, if they finish third in the West, he's the MVP.
Yeah.
It's him and Shea battling it out, and it's him who likely wins it.
Right, because he's been so close, and it's his time.
Well, that and because he's going to average like reception. Five more rebounds and five more assists than Shea.
Yeah.
I mean, yep. He doesn't play any defense at all, mm-hmm. but he at least will have those stats.
Mm-hmm. And Oklahoma City is an awesome team, and Dallas is a good group as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I think everything about the Dallas Mavericks team building has been, oh, here's how this person supports Luka. Oh, Kyrie learned how to play with Luka, so that's where I think he locks in. Let's bring in friend of the program. Let's push some buttons there. Hey, friend of the program, Fox 40, Sean Cunningham. Sean, what's going on, man?
Hi guys, that was quick. How are you?
Oh, is that okay? Do you want us to take you off for a minute?
No,
do you need to prepare?
Just take a sip of water.
Yeah, take that. Take a little sip. Sip.
Look at that T-shirt. Mm-hmm.
That's an incredible T-shirt.
Yeah, thank you guys. Appreciate it.
You didn't go Rihanna.
Love Major League.
Yeah. No, I couldn't go Rihanna. Most of them are inappropriate. And the White Men Can't Jump T-shirt for the audio listener is just the Woody Harrelson and the Wesley Snipes.
That's outstanding.
You know, the movie cover.
The cast of Wildcats.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Was he in there? Wesley Snipes was?
Uh-huh. Yeah, okay. It's Leslie and Woody and Goldie Hawn.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Gotcha. Good knowledge.
Anything else? Want to dive down?
Oh, I got plenty.
IMDb rabbit holes before we get into the
game? We do this.
I've got plenty. Yeah, we do this all the time. By the way, I've been going down a rabbit hole of water spouts and super yachts, so I'm here for all the conversation and conspiracy theories if you're ready for them.
Okay, we'll get to that in a minute. We'll put a pin in the conspiracy theories here for a moment. Can you clear something up for me? And from what I understand, you've done this already, but I have not heard it, so I need to hear it from you. The workouts that you reported the Kings had, Isaiah Thomas, Juan Toscano-Anderson, Tony Bradley, and Lonnie Walker, were those just workouts so the Kings players could play against NBA guys, or were those legitimate tryouts?
Well, I mean, I think both can be true. I think that's anyone confused by it should still recognize a workout as an opportunity, but they're not like a pre-draft workout where you have a singular focus on somebody or here's our roster slot that we're dangling in front of somebody and say, hey, best man, come get it and earn it. This is very much an opportunity for the roster players in town to get those competitive workouts, and they're not too dissimilar from what you've seen in years past, but there is opportunity to be had, make no mistake. And so putting these people in front of not only NBA talent and evaluators and front offices and coaches, but getting the opportunity to get some burn for these roster players that have a mini camp coming up in San Diego in the near future will be paramount, just to break up some of the monotony of the off season.
Yeah. Sean, do you know, did this already take place, or is it taking place, or is it in the future? Like, what are we talking about here?
I know the mini camp is in the future, but this week. I think they were select days throughout the week, and what is today, Thursday? Mm-hmm. I think there's another one, but I don't have clarity on what days. I just know there were workouts this week.
Okay.
Sean Cunningham, Fox 40. I want to loop you on a conversation we've been having today here on The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. Nasir Little was waived by the Phoenix Suns. Not saying the Kings should claim him off waivers, but to bring in a player like Nasir Little, where do you land on that idea?
I don't know if I've given it too much thought, to be honest. I did see he was waived. I actually didn't piece him and Sacramento together necessarily.
We've been doing it 2 hours now.
I mean, certainly I can see someone's attraction to a player like him, but I don't know. I think you can go up to 21 roster players, James. I think you know that better than me for training camp. I think this team pretty much already has, an idea of what they want to look like. I mean, it's possible they could even keep an open roster spot heading into the season for flexibility. We've certainly seen teams do that before. So, sure. I could be talked into it. I don't know that it's somebody that I would circle, like me personally, taking all, any knowledge that I have, which is none, just putting my own opinion out there. I don't know that I would circle him and put him in a situation for Sacramento, but I could certainly be talked into it and certainly understand why somebody would have an attraction to Nas Little.
I'm cutting this video for social, and I'm going to quote you as, sure, Sean Cunningham sure. on Nasir Little.
Dot, dot, dot.
Might as well just, yeah, meh.
Yeah, like when I look at it, I don't know that... like it is a needle mover, but at the same time, I feel the same thing about Jalen McDaniels. And so for me, like if you were to go out and get him, like first of all, it's going to put you up against the luxury tax really close. Well, probably put you over luxury tax, but like further deep into heading towards like the hard cap where the Kings are at. So I could see where there could be some hesitation here, but at the same time, like, this team needs to have some quality competition for roster spots, which I don't think that they've had on the back end of their roster for the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. And so for me, you need to go find talent, and you need to find talent at the three and at the four, length, athleticism, what we always talk about. So I wouldn't be, I wouldn't hate it. I don't think it's, something that's going to change the trajectory of your team, but you never know. And if I'm going to take a flyer on somebody, I'd rather take a flyer on Nasir Little than I would on a guy like Kessler Edwards. Like, he's just got like a larger body of work.
Yeah. I see work in there. I would just say I would probably argue you should probably do better. And I don't think, to use your vernacular, I don't think they need to be taking flyers on anybody, to be quite honest. I think they're in a position where they need to be damn sure of who they're bringing into their team. I think they've taken some flyers already, and hoping some things pan out the right way, and maybe people have bounced back years and fit in the right way and all that kind of stuff. I think, I'd rather see them be quite aggressive personally, but at the risk of not being able to have a finer example of someone you could bring in, I just think you probably need to do better. So,
but on August 22nd,
Right.
That's kind of the, that's like at this point, the players available are all going to be flyer types where you're just bringing them in and hoping that they can develop in your system. I'm not asking a player, Nasir Little or anybody else who's added on late August to come in and be a rotation guy.
Yeah, I think there's also a world that exists where, you know, for people who, just for context a little bit, like, you know, you may have kicked the tires on somebody through in terms of gauging interest in the free agency process, and maybe their number is higher than the number that you're willing to give out. So mm-hmm. I don't know that with respect to those players, I don't think those are flyer pieces. I think there's people sure. that, you know, may have had an idea of what the market would bear, and now that you're getting any closer to training camp, that market might change a little bit on their end, and possibly the Kings end as well. So I hope you can't hear my air conditioning just kicked on.
We can, that's fine.
Hopefully it's not too loud. I usually turn that off, but it's
no, it's okay. It's nice. I love the ambiance.
Yeah. I don't know. I think there's I think if you remember last year, you know, I think James and I talked about this on the recent Kings Beat podcast, where if it right around this time, I mean, they were bringing in the likes of, you still had Nemias Keita, and you still had, you know, you just brought in Nerlens Noel, and neither one of those guys were around by the time training camp really rolled around because of the likes of JaVale McGee. So a lot can change here in the next few days and weeks leading up to camp. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see if anything shakes out with this, you know, with some of these guys, veterans that have come in, and if any others tend to come in the next few days or so, before maybe that mini camp happens, or even on the heels of that mini camp going into training camp itself.
Yeah. Sean, it seems like you have an idea that there might be someone else out there that would take less money than what they've been looking at in the past. Not to like throw a name out there, but it does seem like, you know, like the Kings have, they don't feel like they're done 100%. Maybe they are, but it still feels like there's an opportunity for them to change things. And I know I mess with you all the time. Do you think they're done, Sean?
I know.
But it does feel like if there is opportunity to improve this roster, that they're not going to, like, they are going to, like, be aggressive. I'd also, like, the guys that they're bringing in here, the Lonnie Walkers, Isaiah Thomas, like, as much as anything, I think this is the Kings doing solids for people, getting people their names back out there, getting like kicking the tires and seeing what if there's some tread left on some of these guys, but also like with the understanding that their roster as of right now can't absorb a full-fledged veteran that would push their salary up higher. The veteran that they'd have to bring in at this point for me would have to be someone who fits exactly what they need going forward. And none of those guys really check a box that says, okay, like, look, you signed Jordan McLaughlin. Like, having a fourth point guard and Isaiah Thomas doesn't make that much sense. You know, Lonnie Walker, they already have five shooting guards. That doesn't make a lot of sense. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think if you're looking at him as a product right now, I think the challenges in front offices all the time is looking at the evolution of your team itself. And, you know, the team today isn't necessarily the team in October and January and beyond the trade deadline. And, you know, maybe just to give an example, I mean, you might be considering a move that could be out there, and, you know, before you totally either commit or remove yourself from those talks, maybe you kick the tires on something that can create depth in the event you do make that move. So, you know, lining up pieces, you know, C, D, and E before you do, you know, the move of A, B, and C, you know. So I just think it all comes down to due diligence and, you know, getting a real read of the room. And I think, you know, all information is necessary as you head into the season. Whether you mention a guy like Lonnie Walker, whether he's playing for you or another team, you still get to get some reliable intel on where he's at in his career. So it's all just useful information at the end of the day. And I think this front office has a way of attaching themselves to a lot of various options and scenarios if the event something plays out. And I don't think that's too dissimilar from what happens throughout the league.
Sean Cunningham, Fox 40, joining us now. Sean, I heard tell that DeMar DeRozan is considering joining the Kings. Your thoughts?
Considering, yeah, it still doesn't feel real, does it? I mean,
kind of wild.
You know, in talking to people throughout, you know, both media landscape and just the league over the past weeks since Summer League, it's still kind of a weird feeling to say for Sacramento that they landed a fish like DeMar DeRozan to be able to especially put next to a prime De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis. You now have that true three-headed monster. And the thing I still can't get over is how they were able to acquire somebody of that ilk, even longer in the tooth as he is, but still providing such a productive piece to a roster that didn't really have to, with respect to those guys, didn't have to really give up much for him. So, yeah, I think it's exciting, man. I really do. I think it's exciting. And I think I love seeing these videos of Domas and DeMar DeRozan kind of getting to know one another in these weeks leading up. And it'll be fun to hear some of the stories that kind of come out of this week.
Yeah, no doubt. You got anything else?
No.
James?
All right. We got to go to break, don't we?
Yeah, we got to break. If you had something
can I
like...
Say,
yeah, please.
Can I give you one thing, though?
It
was fun for me, by the way, to kind of catch up with Jordan McLaughlin earlier this week. I had interview with him that it was kind of more of a get-to-know-you thing, but just kind of an interesting story and a guy that certainly has high hopes for what he can do with this Kings team, but also in a place in his career where he's leaving a organization that he knew for 5 years. So interesting spot where he's at, and it was just kind of fun to kind of catch up with him as one of the new faces of the Kings, because I hadn't had a chance to do that yet. So
feels like he's going to be one of those guys that hits a huge shot like super early in the season.
He feels like one of those guys that they're like fans are going to fall in love with.
Yes.
Like the Yogi Ferrells of the world. Yep. Yeah,
definitely.
And a disruptor. It just feels like a disruptor too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of like you just disrupted my outro.
Sorry,
guys. Sean, you're the very best. Appreciate you. That's Sean Cunningham, Fox 40. And we will talk to you another time soon, hopefully.
Love you guys. Thanks.
All right, see you,
bud.
Take care.
Bye.
Sean Cunningham. There he goes. Fox 40. You can check out all of his work there. We got a break.
All right.
That's what we're going to do. We'll tell you where the Kings land on the ESPN predictions. We're taking 3 segments to get through this, but we're going to do it, I swear. Coming up next on ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Center.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile, and on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
And I need to do a personal thing real quick before we get to the final bit of these ESPN Western Conference predictions. I want to give a big shout out to one of my group chats.
Oh.
My guys Shad, Sean, and Micah. So it's Micah's birthday today. A lot of August birthdays. Happy birthday to the homie Micah. Salute to my buddy Sean, who just got engaged over the weekend. Salute to Sean. Shad has a baby on the way. Well, his wife has a baby on the way. Shad does not. So the group chat is on the come up life-wise right now. Big shout out to the juice.
Are you feeling left out? Because those are all like monumental moments.
I just had a birthday.
Okay. That's true. Yeah, just write it in. That's good.
Yeah.
You don't need to go out. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm chilling. I got a new car. Got solar on my house.
I told you, like, life cycle works like very, like, you have a bunch of friends who get married when they're young,
mm-hmm.
which doesn't really happen anymore. Getting married when you're young now means like 28 or 30.
Yeah.
Right? It's not like when I was younger, it was like, hey, 22, 23, 24.
Yeah, for sure.
And then you have a couple of people have babies. And then some of the people that got married get divorced. And then some of your other friends that hadn't got married before, now they get married. And you have all these like turnover cycles, like within like a 10, 15 year window. And then things get pretty solid.
Yeah. Shout out to the homies. All right. I'm not getting off track. I'm getting back on track.
Let's do this, Kyle.
The rest of the contenders, we told you, Thunder 1, Timberwolves 2, Mavericks 3. Number 4, tied with the Mavs, the Denver Nuggets.
Oh.
And this is something we talked about yesterday. They are a candidate to me to fall off pretty significantly.
Yeah, I don't think they'll fall off a cliff, but like I do think 4, 5, 6 is a possibility. I mean, they still have one of the most impactful players in the NBA on the court. They still have really nice pieces around him, but the overall depth of that team just keeps getting hit left and right, and I don't know how they piece it together.
Yeah, Jokic is going to just be a force, right? Like they're always going to be a factor and a tough out because of him for now. But the Jokic Jamal Murray tandem, and okay, Michael Porter Jr. is there. Okay, Aaron Gordon's still there, but Kentavious Caldwell Pope was a key piece to that puzzle. They lost Bruce Brown a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Haven't been able to really replace him. So I'm interested to see how that continues going for the Nuggets. But again, they're also a team that's circling the playoffs. And if they went and finished as the 4 seed with 52 wins,
yeah.
It wouldn't shock me that much. Number 5.
Uh-oh.
The Phoenix Suns.
Oh.
ESPN is with me on the Suns. I think I'm Olympics pilled a little bit.
Okay.
Because Devin Booker just played the role he needed to play so well that I'm fully in on Devin Booker as a player now. But obviously there are question marks with the Suns in terms of their health and how do those pieces fit together and what does Bradley Beal look like? Do they have enough NBA players to win on a night in, night out basis? But the Phoenix Suns, number 5, 49.
I really like the Suns, and I like their offseason. I think they did really, really solid, like, moves all around. And even, like, the Nasir Little move, right, and E.J. Liddell. They waived these guys. that saved them a bunch of money, and mm-hmm. it might open up the potential for them to do something down the road.
Yeah.
And that's some, like, good teams, like, when you have a mistake, don't sit on your mistake. Don't wait around and hope that it gets better. Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, we can talk about the Kings, what they did this offseason with mm-hmm. Sasha Vezinkov and Davion Mitchell getting shipped to Toronto. And I don't want to be rude and say, like, it's those are horrible mistakes. Mm-hmm. But as far as, like, your team build and what you're trying to get accomplished,
yeah,
they weren't moves that were going to, like, continue to, like, be positive moves for you.
Yeah.
So move away from them. Mm-hmm. And I don't think either one of those, I think both of them can do whatever they, like, at their next stop, they can have, like, very successful careers. Again, Sasha back in Greece and Davion is, like, getting a fresh start. Mm-hmm. But that still, that was a lot of money that you had going out to those guys. We're talking, like, almost $13 million mm-hmm. a year. It makes sense to make a move with those guys.
Yeah.
And so I look at that the same thing with, like, the Nasir Little thing. It's a shock for us because we're like, well, you couldn't make that guy, like, fit yeah. into what mm-hmm. you seems like you could have used him.
Definitely.
But they had him for a year and they didn't feel like they could use him and they didn't feel like he was part of what they're doing. And sometimes a player needs that to, like, hey, man, you're, like, very close to out of the league right yeah. now. You might have a big payday coming and you might get checks for a long time. But that doesn't mean that you're a functioning part of, like, the league. You need yep. to, like, figure out what it is that's made you not have a job.
Find your role and start filling that role.
Yeah, how could you, like, on that team last year who just really needed a player like
him.
Could
have used him.
Could have used him.
20 minutes a night.
Yeah, like, there should have been a role for him to yeah. carve out, and he wasn't able to. Mm-hmm. So that could speak, you know, to the Phoenix Suns as a problem, mm-hmm. but it also could speak to him being, you know, he needs to figure out his health issues, why mm-hmm. he keeps getting hurt and all that stuff. So,
yeah
interesting stuff, man.
Austin Rivers always says this on his podcast, learn your role, change your life.
Yeah.
Learn your role, change your life. Now it's a little mm-hmm. needs to learn his role. Number six, of course, the Sacramento Kings. Predicted to finish sixth by ESPN's panel of experts at 47-35. So my knee-jerk reaction to this was 47 feels light.
Yeah.
And I think it still does, but I think it's really easy to draw a path to 47 if you figure, okay, let's just early part of the season, they're still trying to figure out how to all play together. Maybe there's a couple of games early in the year that they're still figuring out, because having DeMar DeRozan and De'Aaron Fox on the same team in the fourth quarter,
mm-hmm.
I think that's going to take some figuring out in how this is going to work in a tight game. And they will. They have 82 games to do so. But it wouldn't surprise me if out of the gate there were just a couple of hiccups and we're kind of looking around going, I don't think they're going to start 0-4 again. But it wouldn't shock me at all if there's a couple of games early in the year where we go, oh, man, like they probably shouldn't have lost that one. And then by the end of the year, they're winning those same type of games. And in that event, yeah, okay, maybe it's 47. But I'm of the mind they get to 50.
Yeah, I kind of feel like they're a 50-win team.
I do too.
Like, I don't know what part of 50. I don't know if they're 52, if they're 51, if they're mm-hmm. 55.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if they take some, like, gigantic leap.
Sure.
But I also feel like they didn't live up to their talent level last year. So, like, I think that was probably, again, we've talked about, like, the missed free throws, how they lost five mm-hmm. games specifically because of bad free throw shooting.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you're going to lose games for bad free throw shooting. But let's say you only lost two because of that and mm-hmm. you win 49. Like, I think the trajectory of this team was, like, a 48-win team that should have bumped up to 50,
yeah.
right around 50.
I would agree.
And then you would hope that they would get up to 53 to 55, right? Mm-hmm. So if they skipped ahead and got back on track to where mm-hmm. they maybe could have been or should have been, then yeah, I could see them winning more games than we expect.
If Malik Monk's healthy last year, maybe they get to 50. If they don't, if De'Aaron Fox is healthy early in the year, maybe they get to 50.
Yeah.
If they don't trick off a couple of games with missed free throws late, they get to 50. Like, there's so many different ways they could have got. It reminds me a little bit of the 49ers 2018 season. So in 2018, that was the first full year of Jimmy Garoppolo, you'll remember.
Mm-hmm.
And going into that year, there was a thought like, hey, this might be a team that can win 9 or 10 games and sneak into the playoffs. And then Jimmy Garoppolo got hurt, and they won four games.
Oh, yeah.
And it allowed them to draft Nick Bosa. And then the next year, they went to the Super Bowl. If you told me that was the Kings' kind of trajectory this year, where they're taking the next... How am I doing this? Last season was supposed to be another step forward, and then this year was supposed to be another step forward.
Uh-huh.
If you told me that this year looked like two steps because they took a step backwards last year...
Yep.
Does that am I articulating this correctly?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Okay,
like, I think
yeah,
that because,
I'm agreeing with you. That's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, I don't think they took so much a step back as they were just kind of the same.
Yeah.
They just weren't as dynamic as they were the year before.
Yeah.
So I could see a way in which they got better by learning how to play defense together. Mm-hmm. And even if they move from like number 25, number 26, where they were 2 years ago,
mm-hmm.
to and they're able to keep it somewhere around the 15 to 18 range, which again, they finished this season, I think 13, 14 in defensive rating. You could see where if they can be reasonable defensively
mm-hmm.
and get back to who they were as an offensive team, that like, why not? Why, you know, again, position by position, can they hang with Dallas? Heck yeah, they can hang with Dallas.
Yeah.
Position by position, can they hang with Phoenix?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they can.
Mm-hmm.
So, and, you know, again, I think we get, at certain times we get so wrapped up in like a team like Denver loses some good solid players, right? Mm-hmm. Like those aren't world beaters though.
Yeah.
And like, I don't think that they're going to take some monstrous step backwards because they still have a ton of talent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talk about like the top four or five guys on the Kings. Denver still has a top four that's exceptional. Like,
yeah.
Whether you trust that Murray's going to be healthy the whole season or Michael Porter Jr. is going to stay healthy the whole season, but Aaron Gordon and Jokic, they still have, like, a star-studded top four.
No doubt.
It's where you get to 5, 6, 7, 8, like, mm-hmm. Christian Brown is there, but what's next, right?
Yeah.
And that's where I think their sort of skill level might drop off.
I'm so happy Damian Barling is in the building for this. It's time for the handoff. Not only did ESPN pick the Kings to make the playoffs as the number 6 seed,
mm-hmm.
in their little write-up here, I am proud to announce that ESPN did not mention the Kings' defense. Congratulations, we've done it. We've really done it.
That's big time.
Yeah. No mention of the Sacramento Kings' lack of defense. Instead, it says, the Kings, meanwhile, added all-star DeMar DeRozan, who joins guard De'Aaron Fox to create one of the most clutch backcourts in the league.
It might have been omitted for space.
Yeah.
It was like the next sense. Ah, it's a little too much room. Let's let's cut that off. But
Did you tap into the ESPN predictions for the Western Conference?
I did. Mm-hmm.
Do you agree Kings 6 seed, 47 wins? Not agree, but are you
I agree the Kings are a top 6 team.
Yeah.
The 47 I'm having a little bit of a tough time with. It's one game better than last year.
Mm-hmm.
It's one game worse than the year prior.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to glow about the DeMar DeRozan signing, what's the reasoning that it doesn't add like actual substantive victories to the total?
Well, the lack of defense.
Well, apparently, and I guess they just didn't want to throw that in there. Like I'm not really sure.
My and James and I are in lockstep here. I think they're 50 wins. In that range, 50.
That's the number I like.
Yeah.
I like them. I like them at that number.
But if you told me, yeah, the Kings were the 60, they won 47 games. To me, I think that probably means that early in the year, it was figuring stuff out with DeMar. How does this all fit? Trying to piece the rotation together. Maybe at some point they're trying to fit Devin Carter into the mix later in the year. Maybe there's a couple of fourth quarters early on where Malik and De'Aaron and DeMar are trying to figure it out still. Maybe they drop a couple of games early and they fall short of 50.
I know I have it in our notes. Do you have it in front of you? Because one thing that I remember, and I hope I'm not wrong with this, like Denver might have been at 52. Was Oklahoma City at 57?
Yes.
Yeah.
So that was the top, right?
Yeah.
And that's where they were last year. What was Minnesota?
54.
So
last year, ranking or last year?
No. In this ranking.
Yeah,
last
54.
Year, I think you had three teams at 57 wins in Oklahoma City, Minnesota, and Denver.
Minnesota, 56.
56. My mm-hmm. apologies. So that means Denver was 56 also.
Denver with 57. Denver and OKC tied.
Got you. So you have like a – you don't have the upper – you know, the top three winning as many games as they had last year.
Mm-hmm.
You have one of them,
mm-hmm.
but not the other two. So reading that, especially when you go like a little bit further and you see, you know, New Orleans, I think, was at 46, and you see Golden State right around there, you're expecting, and I feel like this is getting a little bit cliche, but that doesn't mean it's not accurate, mm-hmm. is that the Western Conference is just going to fight it out with each other mm-hmm. for 82 games.
Yeah.
So the 47, yeah. I feel like I don't agree with it, but the context of the entire rankings, I think, is to explain how difficult the conference as a whole is.
What's, we talked about this yesterday. Memphis, probably going to be better. How good? I don't know, yeah. but Memphis will be better. Houston, if they take another step, you have San Antonio is going to be better. There's a lot of teams in the West that are just going to be like, hey, they're even a little better than they were last year.
Yeah, and not to steer too far off, James, that was one of the most reasonable Memphis Grizzlies predictions I think I've seen.
I totally agree.
Like the idea that Memphis is the second seed again and they're winning 56 games, hey, salute. I really like a lot of the guys on that team. That is a 30-some-odd game turnaround. Like, that is, yeah. I mean, Ja is great.
Astronomical.
And yeah. if that's happening, we're yeah. talking about Ja Morant as an MVP. We're talking about yes. Marcus Smart as the Defensive Player of the Year. But having them, I think it was at 44 or somewhere mm-hmm. in that vicinity, that, to me, that's it. One that's a big turnaround from yeah. last year. But that, to me, feels a lot more realistic for a team that we have essentially never seen play together.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like that prediction from ESPN.
I think that there's going to be a lot of teams at the bottom that do the same thing they did 2 years ago with Victor Wembanyama. I think Cooper Flagg is a player that Portland is going to chase, that Utah is going to chase, that the Spurs are going to chase. But then in the East, the Pistons,
I don't think the Spurs
Wizards
are going to be bad enough to get there, do you think?
No.
Like, yeah.
Wemby won't let
especially
him,
well, especially that's the conference hammer, but we got to factor in Washington into this.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I don't know, maybe Charlotte. I'm not
maybe Detroit.
Really
oh, you
sure.
got Charlotte, in Detroit, Washington. Mm-hmm. Maybe,
so there's more
oh,
than
Brooklyn.
Yeah,
Brooklyn.
There's more than the Western Conference teams that they got to be bad. Of course, the lottery is different now, so maybe you just get into the conversation. That'd be good enough for San Antonio because it's not like they haven't had luck before.
It will be interesting to see if that changes because last year so many teams, the Bulls didn't blow it up because Bulls ownership was like, no, we can make the play-in and make a push for the playoffs.
Yeah.
That's why they didn't trade Alex Caruso and DeMar DeRozan at the deadline. Right. Maybe this year you have teams with Cooper Flagg sitting there at potentially number one instead of going, hey, we're not actually going to push for that 10 seed. We're gonna pull the plug on this.
And given the way that the draft is given the perception of the draft, it's hard to argue Chicago made the wrong call. It's like, look,
yeah,
we're going to try because there's nothing there for us. Like mm-hmm. we're going to try. Like I can't really fault them for that. Not all drafts are the same.
They took the path that landed DeMar DeRozan in Sacramento. So you know what?
It's all that matters to me.
Yeah, thank you so much. I really, really appreciate that.
I think it's interesting. We keep talking about this 50 win mark for the Kings. There were six teams last year that had 50 wins total in the NBA, East and West. Six.
Wow.
There's only two in the Eastern Conference that had 50 wins.
And New York had exactly 50.
Yeah. And not only New York, Dallas had exactly 50, and the Clippers had 51, and we expect them to fall off. So I think when we talk about the 50-win mark, we might be talking about something that is more difficult than it used to be, like during the heyday where, I mean, what was it? The 48 wins didn't get you in the top eight.
But let's look at those teams real quick. New York went on a run where they looked phenomenal, and they closed the season. That took that into the playoffs. That got them to 50 wins. Dallas's final, I mean, Dallas since the trade deadline.
Incredible.
Got them to 50 wins. Like, Dallas sucked. When last season started, Dallas was terrible. They were awful defensively. If they had stumbled in the play-in, it would have been whatever, but they were not a good basketball team. They got significantly better, and I'm not taking anything away from what they did in the playoffs. They got significantly better after the trade deadline. Boston was the best team in basketball all year. Oklahoma City never had a lull. They played really good all season. And then the other two are, I mean, Denver did. Minnesota.
They were good all year, too.
Yeah, I feel like they were good all year. I didn't start really buying what I was seeing, I think, until December. It was like, okay, they've shown me enough to know that this is real. And then Denver's the other team.
Yeah.
It's a championship. Last year, that was the defending champion. It's a championship basketball team.
Dallas finished 16-4 in their final 20 games.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Yeah.
That's incredible. The point was, though, there were a lot of teams that had, I mean, even the Pelicans are one of those teams. They had huge ups and huge downs.
Mm-hmm.
The teams that won 50 games, for the most part, with the exception of New York and Dallas, were steady.
Mm-hmm.
OKC was steady. Denver was steady. Minnesota was steady. Boston, as steady as can be. All these other teams that that approached 50 wins were at 50 wins. They kind of had these up and down hills all season long.
Yeah.
Or maybe not all season long, but at a point in the season,
yeah,
they hit a lull and then were able to pick it back up.
Yeah.
Especially Dallas.
I'm so with you guys on Memphis. Memphis won 51 games 2 years ago,
mm-hmm,
and they were the 2 seed.
Mm-hmm.
51 last year gets you the 4 seed,
mm,
tied for the 4 seed.
Yeah.
So
it's not the same basketball team.
It's not, dude.
Like, but that doesn't mean they're not better. It doesn't mean that they
they'll be better. I think they'll be better, but all this stuff of like, oh, just plug Memphis back into the top of the West. Like, what are we doing?
You think this year's team will be better than that 51 win team?
No.
Oh, okay.
No,
that's the team I'm referring to. Like, to think that this team right now is going to be as good as that 51 win team is crazy.
I don't want to say no chance. Very small chance.
Well, it's certainly not right out the gate. Like, I think these guys have a lot to figure out. I'm excited Ja's back. I think, you know, you don't want anyone's season to end that way. But I think given the way the season started for him, being able to come in, play a few games, remind everybody how good he is.
Yep.
You know, unfortunately, he gets hurt, but he has, you know, plenty of time to get better. The fact that he can start completely fresh in October,
yeah,
I think that's great for him. And I think that's the biggest plus side,
yeah,
for Memphis. But plus 20 is a hell of a number, and I'm going to lean towards that. Plus 30, I'll apologize to the Grizzlies. I don't know what else to say. That would be incredible.
We can call together the Odyssey Station in Memphis and apologize on Memphis Radio. Yeah.
There it is.
They have a 30-game.
Aaron Judge already hit another home run this morning.
Yeah, he's up to 48.
48.
He's going to hit 60 again.
That's amazing.
We didn't even get to Shohei. We'll put a pin in that till tomorrow.
He's at 48 home runs.
Yeah.
Shohei's at 39, Shohei's, 39.
Shohei's on pace for a 50-50 season. No one's ever even done 45-45.
Wow.
Home run stolen bases.
Wild.
We'll talk more about that tomorrow. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders. Jiffy Lube's a sponsor. We'll be back tomorrow at 10 a.m. D'Lo and Casey are next. Until tomorrow at 10, drink water, be nice, people. Boop!
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.